Hi everyone, I'm Ryan. I'm going to give a talk on basically formalizing dependency resolution and trying to show that every ecosystem is kind of doing the same thing underneath the hood. It, as the title says, is a formal model, so there will be a bit of Greek, but I'm going to try and get the intuition across as well. So there are a lot of package managers out there, as I'm sure everyone in this room knows. Every language and operating system has something else going on. They each have subtly different semantics for dependency resolution. This fragmentation prevents projects written in multiple languages from managing their dependencies in a unified way. And the mechanisms for depending on system dependencies are often sort of ad hoc and unversioned. And that means there might be, you don't have full knowledge of your dependencies, basically. Like your language package manager, it doesn't know what's going on with your system package manager. So I present to you the package calculus, which is a small formalism trying to capture the core semantics of dependency resolution. That is hopefully able to capture the diversity out there in the world, which I'll get onto. So we have N as the possible package names, V as the possible package versions, P as the Cartesian product of these two sets, which means a package is a name version pair, and R as all the packages which exist, for example, in a repository. We define the delta as a dependency relationship from a package to a package name and a set of versions that you depend upon that package with. As in, I depend on library A with versions 1.1 to 2, for example. And given a set of the dependency relation and a root package R, we define a resolution S as valid if it, one, includes the root, two, satisfies the dependency closure. So for every package in the resolution, for each dependency of that package, there has to exist a package in the resolution that has the same name and a version that is in the version set. And also, there is this criteria of version uniqueness. So if there's two packages in the resolution with the same name, they have to have the same version. Is that making sense so far? Okay. So, for example, we can have this dependency relation where we have A1 depending on B1, A1 depending on C1, B1 depending on D with versions 1 or 2, or and C depending on D with versions 2 and 3. And the solution to this is to select D2 and all the other packages. And we can diagram this as a hypergraph, essentially, where we have an edge from a package to a set of packages it depends upon. This is MP complete, finding the resolution to satisfy a root and dependency relation. The proof is via a reduction from 3SAT, which I will omit to save on a bit of time. As you probably know, modern package managers often employ SAT to solve this problem. So an example of how you could do that in the package calculus is using a variable to represent each package in the resolution, which is true if the package is included in the resolution. Sorry, repository. A variable for each package in the repository, which is true if it's in the resolution. The conjunction of every dependency where we say we either don't have the package which is depending upon the other package, or we have any package which has the name we depend on with a compatible version. And we can translate this to conjunctive normal form for a SAT solver. And a similar thing for version uniqueness. If we have two packages in the repository, they can't be in the resolution with the same version. This has pretty bad complexity for a normal SAT solver, but a SAT solver with an at most one primitive, it's fine. And this works in the real world. This is nothing super novel. So we've described compatible versions as a set so far. But in the real world, you normally express version dependency versions with a range. And this is predicated on having an ordering for these versions. So this is basically to say that given a range of versions, we can collapse this to a set given a repository. Pretty intuitive. And we can talk about the freshness of a resolution given this version ordering. So most ecosystems prefer to use the highest compatible version. And we can make the SAT solver prefer this by putting the freshest versions earlier in the clause. And if it tries the clause variables in order, it will prefer the more fresh versions. Some ecosystems don't do this. I think Go prefers the minimum version. I'll get onto Go in a little bit. There is no guarantee that there is actually a single maximum resolution. For example, in this scenario, we have A depending on B with versions 1 or 2, and C with versions 1 or 2. But B2 depends on C1, so we can't select C2. So there's a trade-off there. You can either select B1 and C1, or B1 and C2. There is some work exploring this in a little more detail, but we're just focusing on the satisfiability of dependency resolution. So can we avoid the MP hardness, completeness of this problem of finding the resolution to satisfy dependencies? Well, Go has an approach called minimum version selection, where we only specify the minimum version bound for a dependency. So we only describe one version, which is the minimum we can depend upon. And the maximum is implicit up to the next major version. So it's a linear time traversal of the dependencies in order to find a resolution. You just take the maximum of all the minimum version bounds, okay? This is reliant on strict semantic versioning. There is no facility to express a maximum other than the next major version bump. So we have to always have compatible minor and patch versions. Only major versions can break the APIs. But this isn't suitable to all ecosystems. For example, OCaml, which is a language I'm more familiar with, any API change is potentially breaking due to module includes of types. Without getting into the technical details, basically any API change could be breaking. So there's no meaningful distinction between major and minor versions. And we devolve into expressing precise dependencies, as in Nix's model. We can only depend on a singular version, right? So we can't express dependencies on multiple major versions. Make sense? Okay. So now that I've described the core package calculus, I'm going to try and convince you that this is expressive enough to model prove me wrong. I'd love to be proven wrong. All the package manager dependency resolution semantics out there. So the first one is very simple, version formula. We have pi, which is a version formula such as greater than 1.2.3, less than 2.0. As I mentioned before, we can basically collapse this to a set given a repository. We just take all the versions in that repository, which is in that formula. The next one is conflicts. So many package managers support anti-dependencies. Let's say I have a fork of a project which is packaged under a new name. There might be some reasons why that can't be co-installable with another package. So apt, RPM, and OPAM all support a conflict from one package to another package name. So for example, P gamma NVS means P cannot be co-installable with N, where any V is in VS. You might think, given we have nothing in the core calculus to support this, this might not be possible to represent. But we can use a trick to encode this in the core calculus. Basically, this is the semantics of the resolution in the conflict calculus, where if we have a conflict on an NVS, then we can't have a V existing in the resolution with a V in VS. But we can reduce this to the core calculus using these virtual packages. So we create a virtual package called NVS. So this is for the package N with the set of versions VS with two versions, 0 or 1. And the package that is in conflict with NVS depends on this package with version 1. And every NVS depends on this package with version 0. And this means we're using the version uniqueness in order to give conflicts. So if A1 depends upon, conflicts with B1 and B2, we can encode it as this in the core calculus. And what this means is package management ecosystems that don't support conflicts can solve ecosystems that do, right? The next one is concurrent versions. So as mentioned in the previous talk, there's this diamond dependency problem in package management where you depend upon two packages, each of which depend upon another with different versions. And no valid resolution for this exists under our version uniqueness criteria. But some package managers allow multiple versions of the same name to exist in a resolution. Cargo allows packages to coexist only when they have different major versions. NPM allows any different version to coexist. Nix using hash-based paths allows anything to coexist as well. So we can define a granularity function which maps versions to a granularity. So for cargo, we take the major version. For NPM and Nix, we can take the granularity of the version as the version itself. And for the core calculus, we can define a granularity of every version as being the same, which is epsilon here. And we define a concurrent version resolution as, instead of version uniqueness, it's the same as the core calculus, but instead of version uniqueness, we have version granularity. So for any two packages that exist in the resolution, the versions not being the same implies that their granularity is also not the same. So if we have two versions of the same major version in cargo, then this would not apply. But if they are different major versions, then this would apply, and it would be a valid resolution. Okay? Sorry for all the Greek. we can reduce this to the core calculus using, made-up packages. There's a lot of Greek here, but let me just give you the intuition. So we have an example where we have the diamond dependency problem. We have A1 depending on B1 and C1. B1 depends upon D1, D2, and D2.0.1. And similarly, C depends on the 2s and 3. And under the core calculus, there wouldn't be a valid resolution for this, but we can encode this from the extension to the core using these proxy packages. So the key thing is here, we have a proxy package for the C package at version 1.0.0 to package name D, and then we have the versions as the granularity function of its dependencies, and then D2 can depend upon D2.0.0 and 2.0.1 as well as the 3 major version. So we use an intermediary in order to be able to depend upon packages with different major versions. Okay? And the point of this is any ecosystem which doesn't support concurrent versions can still interoperate with another ecosystem that does. Right? Okay. Another weird thing out there is features. These are basically parameterized dependencies. So cargo and pip support optional functionality of a package being enabled by depending upon it with a feature in cargo, or they're called extras in pip. So one of the key points here is that the resolver unifies features across the resolution. So if I have package A depending on package B with feature alpha, and package C depending on package D with feature beta, alpha and beta will be unified, and B will be built with features alpha and beta. Okay? We define a parameterized dependency where you can depend upon a package with a set of features. And we define additional dependencies that can be enabled by the enablement of a feature. So if we have package P enabled with feature F, we can add an additional dependency. Okay? Okay, can I get a show of hands? Are people following along? Okay, good. Now, there is a lot of Greek for this one, but I'm again going to just give you the intuition. The resolution criteria are for features that you depend upon a package with, that package to be provided with those features, unsurprisingly, and if a package is provided with a feature, then you depend upon the additional packages enabled by that feature. So if we have a package A1, which depends on B1 and C1, B1 depends on D1 with features alpha and beta. C1 depends on D1 with features beta. And D1, if it is dependent upon with alpha, depends upon the additional package E. So to give you, this could be a functionality like support for PNG images, for example. And if you depend upon this package with the PNG functionality, it needs to link in a library to support PNG images. And then maybe this is JPEG images, so you need a JPEG library. D1 depends on E1 if it is dependent upon with alpha, and F1 if it's dependent upon with beta. And we can reduce this to the core calculus. Again, with these intermediate packages, we create a virtual package for every feature that D1 supports. So we have D1 with feature alpha and D1 with feature beta. And when you depend upon a package with a feature, you encode that as depending upon this virtual package. And then that itself depends upon D1 and any additional packages enabled by that feature. Now, if you go into the weeds of the maths, you run across some complexities with different versions of packages with different features. If you want, you can go and look at the slides and dig through the maths and convince yourself that this is right. But basically, this encoding supports different versions of packages and different features. Okay. Now, we also have something called peer dependencies in the NPM world. This is where a child tells its parent what versions of a dependency it can depend upon. Okay? This is used for plugins. So, like, if I have a package and I depend upon some JavaScript framework and a plugin for that framework, that plugin can constrain the versions of the system. Yes. So we model the legacy peer dependencies behavior, where peer dependency is only included if its parent also depends upon it. So when you depend on plugins, they don't implicitly bring in the framework which it uses. But you can also model the new behavior where a plugin brings in its framework when you depend upon it, with some minor tweaks. So we define theta as this peer dependency model, where if we have a package which peer depends on a M with versions VS, this means package NV has a peer dependency on M with versions VS. So its parent will need to satisfy the VS version constraints there. So we have this parent function pi, which maps a package to its parent. I've omitted, for the sake of brevity, how that is created, but you can do this in the core calculus. The criteria is if a package peer depends upon another package, it's like a tongue twister, and the parent of that package also depends upon that peer dependency, then the package used to satisfy this dependency must satisfy the disjunction of the peer dependency version constraints and the parent dependency version constraints. Here is an example of how we can reduce this to the core calculus. I've omitted the maths here, just giving you an example. We have A1, which depends upon this framework C, and we have a plugin B1, which depends upon the framework C with these particular versions. And you notice the only overlap of these two version constraints is C2. We can encode this in the core calculus with these two proxy packages. We have this representing the version selection of C2 for this peer dependency, A1 on C. And we have A1 depending upon so other packages can depend upon B as well, which might have different peer dependencies. So this is why we need this proxy package. And basically, this package here gives us the unification of these two version sets. And we can support peer dependencies in the core calculus. I've got 5 minutes left, right? Something like that. Okay, I'm going to skim past some stuff. so we can support package formula. So OPAM and Debian allow you to say I depend upon package A or package B, or package A and package B. The conjunction is simpler. You just depend upon both of them, but the disjunction requires you to introduce a proxy package. So we have this hypothetical dependency here where A1 depends upon a disjunction of two conjunctions, and we introduce a proxy package. One is the left, one is the right, and the version selection basically gives you the disjunction. We either select the left or the right, and the left depends upon B2 and C1. The right depends upon B1 and not C1. Notice this encoding is the same as the conflict encoding from before. Now, these formulas can also have variables in them sometimes, such as the operating system or like a with test or a with doc. We can introduce virtual packages to represent these variables in the dependency resolution. This is different from how it's implemented in a lot of package manager ecosystems, where it's basically a pre-processing step where you filter out the packages that don't match the operating system you're on, for example. But by putting these variables in the dependency resolution, it can allow us to do things like solve for the particular operating system we might want to use. So I can say I can spin up a Debian VM or another VM, and I can solve for which operating system might provide the system dependencies I need. There's also this idea of virtual packages in Debian. So two packages can provide something like an SSH server. And there is another mechanism for encoding this in the package calculus where you create a virtual package again. There's a pattern here. sometimes there's dependency cycles in package managers. Different ecosystems have different ways of breaking these dependencies. OPAM has a post variable that says this particular cycle can be broken here. Apt, I think, just arbitrarily breaks it at certain points. But most of the cycles are in the core of the core dependencies in Debian, and I think they are provided in a bundle, so it's not that much of an issue. NPM, you can have cycles everywhere. The language breaks it. The package manager doesn't care. It just puts the files on the file system. There is also this concept of optional dependencies in OPAM, which took me a while to figure out how we can represent in the core calculus. But it turns out you don't have to. Optional dependencies basically say I use a package if it's present in the resolution, but otherwise I don't care. It's OPAM's way of doing features, essentially. It's a little less elegant, but we can basically just represent it in the build order. It doesn't affect the resolution semantics at all. Nix has basically no constraints on versions. You depend on a specific package, right? And you get the possibility to depend on different packages by parameterizing derivations in the Nix DSL. The actual resolution is either completely Turing complete or non-existent, depending on your perspective. So we can represent the sort of core derivation building part very simply by just constraining the version set to be the size of 1. But this means that Nix isn't expressive enough to do the dependency resolution that other ecosystems do. And this is why you have like all these X to Nix tools out there that do version solving in the ecosystem specific tooling and then programmatically generate the Nix derivations with a bunch of versions pinned. So I'm kind of interested, can we solve dependencies across ecosystems in a more unified and holistic way? I'm proposing that the core calculus is basically the minimum you need in order to support all these weird and wonderful features out there in the wild. And we can create a language as the lingua franca for these ecosystems. So if you want to talk to OPAM from Cargo, you can go through PAC, reduce it down to PAC, expand it out for the features functionality you support, and then we can do cross-ecosystem resolution. Any questions? Yeah.
I mean, I think first, just have you actually tried doing that?
The implementation isn't working.
An example or something? Or
I've got a bunch of hacks out there translating various ecosystem repositories to OPAM repositories, but in doing so, I realized it was ad hoc. This is an n times m problem, right? So I started thinking about what the minimum commonality you need is. I think it's this, but the implementation is a work in progress.
And do you want more examples of things that you haven't encoded yet?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
If there's something that breaks this, it would be good to know now. So if anyone has any ideas, yeah, let me know. You can send me an email or
So in Maven or Gradle, you can have different compile and runtime dependencies. Do you have a way to model that in the core calculus?
So the question was, in Maven you can have different compile time and runtime dependencies. Do you have a way to model this in the core calculus? And I think the answer to that is basically the versions, variables. We can have something like a is build time variable on dependencies or is runtime, and then you can set that variable in order to parameterize the dependency. Yeah. There's a man behind you.
Just one more question. Okay. The reason why I'm asking is all these package managers have their own strengths and weaknesses. For example, once created a generator for Nix, and I also want some package managers to be as strict as Nix is. I was just curious, have you also thought about potential other applications, like maybe some of the lessons from one package manager integrated into another package manager?
When working with the OPAM maintainers, it has been a useful way of thinking about things. Like, they do a lot of bulk build testing, and they were trying to figure out, on a new release, what do we need to recalculate in order to figure out what dependencies we need to rebuild? And this has been a sort of useful framework for thinking about it. That's the only other use case I've found for it so far, but I am thinking about this. If you have any ideas, let me know. Feel free to email me or message me any other questions. Thanks.
Great talk.
Thank you.
Can I take a
Okay. Sure.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Yeah.